I know. I listen to him. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. But I do want you to know that there are successes there at the school. And let me tell you the first success. Those children know Jesus. If you say God is good, they say all the time, God is good. They know Jesus. So I think, hallelujah, what a good thing. Next slide. What I want you to know about these kids is they are super excited to learn. They show up, and they are there in the most extraordinary circumstances. They want to be there. They know that if they get education, their life will be better. Let me tell you, Pastor asked these children, if you could have anything, any desire of your heart, tell me what you would want. Guess what their answer was? Books. A library. School supplies. Do you think American kids would say that? Yeah, they are excited for learning. Go ahead. These kids have the most grateful hearts. Ryan had talked about that a little bit, but let me go into a little bit more. Gary Miller had sent toothbrushes and toothpaste with us, and, you know, American kids would be like, okay, well, thanks, you know. Let me tell you, these kids, they learn about hygiene in school. And they learn about brushing their teeth. But guess what the teachers told us? Most of them had never had a toothbrush. They were so excited to get toothbrushes and toothpaste. They were excited about anything. And they are so grateful. They love to say thank you. And they were happy for us to be there. Go ahead. Oh, and they love to share their culture. They love to share the language, the food, the dancing, the songs. One of the skits they had, which was kind of funny, was about how the people used to go see witch doctors when they would have problems. And they had a kid there that was acting like a witch doctor, and boy, he laid it on thick. But then they learned about Jesus, and they knew that that was a better way. But let me tell you about some of this. So all of us here probably know what tilapia is, right? But have you ever had it when it's looking at you? I was a little scared because, let me tell you, it's rude not to eat the food that they give you, right? So when you go there, and I knew that, and so I was prepared. And so when they bring out the tilapia that's looking at me, I thought, okay, I could do it. But actually, it was excellent. You don't eat the head part, obviously, but actually, it was very good. Chapati is that tortilla-looking thing because they don't use utensils normally, so they have to have something that you grab the food with. So you use the chapati to grab the food. That white stuff up there is called ugali. It is a kind of a cornmeal mash. It's like really thick mashed potatoes, and you use that to pick up food. And it does double duty as cleaning your fingers. It's not what we're used to, but it is what they're used to. Uji chachu. Once again, it's rude not to eat what you're served. So we were at a meeting, and Kenya was a British colony, so they still have tea time. So in my mind, tea time means you're going to have tea, right? Oh, no, not all the time. They came out and they said, we are going to serve you a nutritious porridge that we have here. It is fortifying. It's wonderful. Well, it's actually a yeast drink that's very thick that they serve hot. And that's what it is. And so we all had it, and we put on a brave face. But y'all, that was not part of the culture I enjoyed. Bro, wow. But they're very excited about it, so we left it there for them. Yes. We learned other Swahili words because they speak Swahili. I'll teach you a couple. Jambo is like hi. And we've heard that a lot. Karibu is either welcome. We heard that a lot. Karibu, welcome, welcome. We're so excited you're here. That also means you're welcome. Sante sana is thank you very much. And so sante sana, karibu. Okay. We actually learned that Hakuna Matata really actually does mean don't worry. Who knew? It's a true Swahili word. And I did hear them say it. And they sing about it too. We heard wazungu, wazungu, and we were like, what is that? What does that mean? White people. and they don't mean it. They just, that's a fact. True. Okay. You can go on the next. Let me tell you a little bit about this. This is beans, bananas, and maize. I find this very interesting. They call corn maize. I think of that as cattle food, but it's not. It's corn. It's just regular old corn. So the school purchased some land that they had intended to hopefully expand upon. However, they didn't have the money. They don't have the money to expand onto that land. So they didn't let it just lay there. They're very resourceful people. They planted beans and corn, or maize, right? Because you can plant the corn and the beans can run up the stalk. And they planted bananas. And what they're doing is they're using the beans and the corn to supplement the feeding program for the children. And they're using the bananas as a cash crop to sell to bring back money for the school. Very resourceful. Great use of resources. Let me tell you about these teachers. Here we're sitting and Hunt is talking with them. They know and love their children. These teachers get paid sometimes, and sometimes they don't. And yet every day they show up. Can you imagine not getting paid and still going to work? They do it. The next one. So then we met with the board of directors. These are a very invested group of people. And let me tell you, these are not just tribesmen that come together and hash out stuff. There are people on there. There is Milton, who's the accountant. He works for an accountant firm in Nairobi, very well respected. He actually grew up in the Baikike area, and he comes back to serve his community. He does their books. He makes sure that they're audited using standard accounting principles. He makes sure that the money goes where it's supposed to go. He is a very impressive accountant. There's another man who I can't think of his name, and if y'all can think of his name, you can tell me, who is a Frank, who is an architect. He came back to serve. He's the one who is helping them kind of plan out what they need for the classrooms, the school, what things that they need to be able to meet the government requirements. Also, very impressive, he works for a firm in Nairobi as well. These board of directors are very invested in making sure these children get education. They came from this area. They know that if these kids are educated, that they can come back and they can serve their community and they can go out and serve the world. Go ahead. So they're like I said, they're wonderful stewards of any resources. You see the bricks there that they're using for the school. Ryan talked about how they make anything into anything. But I want you to know that nothing there is wasted. Okay? In fact, if you go around the school, you might run into a chicken or a chick, or there's like random sheep that run by. Yeah, that's Meals on a Hoof. They use everything. They use absolutely everything. Okay. So let me tell you about some former students who have come back to be teachers at the school. The first one there is Victor. Victor is actually John Mwanga's son. Victor went to college to get a business degree. But while he was there, he learned a lot about computer technology, as I guess you would with a business degree. And so he has come back to the school to help them set up their computer technology that is required for school. The middle guy is Albert. Albert is hilarious. He's also a very fast runner. He also likes to joke around. But Albert came back to be a teacher at the school. Albert is one of John's adopted sons, and I say that because it's not adoption like formal papers are made. Apparently, Albert comes from a situation where his parents at the time couldn't take care of him, so they gave him to John to take care of. And so then Albert grew up, went to university, and has come back to be a teacher at the school. The last one there is Mavis. Ooh, she's a firecracker, and she's got control of those kids. Let me tell you, they are all lined up and respectful. She is the English teacher there at the school, and she told me that when she was a student there, her fifth grade teacher encouraged her and made her want to be a teacher, want to come back and to serve. And let me tell you, that's an amazing story. And her smile is contagious. Let me tell you about the kids. Many of these children are kids that would otherwise not be educated. So Kenya overall in 2014 passed a law that education is compulsory. But there are no truancy officers going out looking for kids. And the Baikiki village is very rural, very poor. And there are not people who from the government who are going to look for kids who aren't in school, right? But in Waikiki, the principal is also named John. There's a lot of Johns involved in this, but is also named John. And then John Mobanga, who we've talked about, they go around the village and check on all the families and look for kids that may need help. This is Margaret. And we went to Margaret's home. Margaret is a fifth grader. Margaret was raped. That child that that lady is holding is her baby. Her mother has agreed to raise her child so that she could go back to school. Then Margaret got tetanus, because guess what? They don't have vaccinations there that like we do here. So Margaret was in the hospital for 2 weeks, and John and John paid for her medical care. And now Margaret is back at school, and she loves school, and she wants to be there. She wants to be there because she knows education is the way out of the situation that she was in. She actually was trying to teach me some kind of patty cake song in Swahili, and I wasn't getting it, and she thought it was hilarious. So that's what she's laughing at me about. The next. Another thing I want you to know is that these kids, once they get into the school and they're working hard, they have above average test scores. In Kenya, they have to take these progress tests, and they don't go on to the next level until they pass these tests. They have above average scores. In fact, 71% of them have above average scores, which is amazing in a very poor, resource-poor area. And last but not least, let me tell you about the public schools. We were taken in the Waikiki area to two public schools. I guess that's the only other two public schools that are there. And these public schools had over 100 children in the classroom. One teacher, 100 kids. Now, they're pretty well-mannered, but they're still, that is unbelievable. And they are so incredibly supportive of Liberty School. First of all, because Liberty School supports children who I said otherwise wouldn't get education. And number two, having the school takes a little bit of the stress off the public school, obviously. Then they would have, you know, even more kids to take care of. We met with the principals and the teachers from both of those schools, and they told us over and over again how supportive they were of Liberty School and how much they wanted them to continue to be able to provide care for children in the Waikiki area. And that's all.
Good morning. I want to start off with saying this adventure to Kidali was truly an eye-opening experience for me. I've traveled a fair amount, but never before have I traveled to a country where there was so much poverty and the infrastructure was so poor. Yet, the people seemed happy and they had a strong faith in God. And I believe that they need help in coming out of this poverty, and the way they do that is by having a good education system. So with that in mind, I would like to present some opportunities where our saviors could help to improve Liberty School. As I think it's been mentioned earlier, we will also be sharing this message with our other LCMC congregations during the gathering this weekend. And our hope is that we can enlist the others to help us with this mission so that Liberty School can meet these needs sooner rather than later. Let's start off with, there's about five opportunities that have been required by the County Director of Education, who really kind of gets his guidance from the Department of Education for Kenya. The first item is to install two new classrooms. This will allow the primary school classrooms to be consolidated kind of into its own little school on the compound, and then the junior secondary school, and that's classes 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, they'll be consolidated in another part of the compound. So you kind of have two separate schools within the same compound. In addition, it will provide space for the newly required junior secondary laboratory. When we were there, these classrooms were under construction, but that was just putting up the exterior walls. They still need an additional $19,000 to complete the construction of these two rooms. That'd be the roof and the windows and electrical and those kind of things. The second opportunity is to provide an improvement to the boys and girls dormitories. The estimated cost of this improvement is $9,000 and will include replacing the flooring, replacement of the exterior siding, and installing an inside wall of plywood. By having an inside wall, that'll help keep the dorm a little warmer when it's cold. In addition, the new interior walls will be painted, and also to complete the project, a new ceiling will be installed, and the doors and windows will be properly sealed. As you can see from the picture, the dormitories are not exactly the most appealing thing in the world. As all schools are required to offer computer learning centers, and an agreement has now been signed with a company out of Nairobi to provide computer curriculum and necessary softwares to install on their existing computers. The total cost of this is $1,850 and will be paid in three installments. And then there's a $300 per year annual charge, to keep these programs up to date and current. The next opportunity is to provide books and curriculum for the school. The Kenya Ministry of Education is now requiring all schools to use the competency-based curriculum, or CBC, and to do so, they need to purchase textbooks and this curriculum for the PP1 classes through the grade 6. Now, just give them the curriculum that's been mandated by the government. The last required opportunity is to provide a science lab for students in the junior secondary school. As mentioned earlier, one of the new classrooms was being built to provide space so that they could have an area for this lab, and an additional $3,500 will be required to purchase the necessary equipment for having an effective lab. This would include items to do chemical experiments, biological experiments, and electrical experiments. Now I'll kind of review a few opportunities that you may say are kind of on the wish list. They're not government required, but they are items that need to be completed to make the school more appealing, meet current standards. The first one is to modify a couple of the classrooms to meet existing building standards. This would be kind of a safety issue. Second is to install modern toilets and wash facilities. I know all of us there would have appreciated it if those would have been available when we were there. And the cost of these two projects hasn't been determined yet, but I'm sure there'll be several thousand dollars to do these. Another opportunity is to purchase 2 acres of land directly behind the PP1 and PP2 classrooms. This would provide room for future expansion as well as increasing the playground area. Currently, the owner is asking $25,000 for this property, and when I heard that number, I said, golly, this is high, especially for Africa. What I didn't appreciate at the time was there was a large number of trees on this property. And since most of the cooking and in Kenya is done over charcoal, timber is a valuable commodity. So they're basically selling those trees along with the physical land. The part that's kind of a good news if they do buy that land is that they can sell these trees or that they wouldn't be removed. Any trees that they remove, they could be sold and recoup some of the cost of that land or be used for other parts of the school. Another opportunity is the purchase of a school bus. This would reduce the long distance walking that many of the kids need to do to get to school and improves their safety. In addition, it would provide transportation for school activities and transportation for visitors, like when we were there. Currently available buses, depending on the model of the year and the mileage, can range anywhere from $52,000 to $88,000. And the final opportunity I would like to mention is to provide a library for the junior secondary school. And again, there's no cost estimate for this particular project. And with that, I will turn it back over to Pastor Law.
Thank you. Well, thank you all. Wonderful presentation. You know, I'm hoping that based on what you've heard and seen here, you get a pretty good idea of what our recommendations are. Having been there, having experienced, and having seen, I'd like to say we went, we touched, we felt, we smelled, we tasted, we heard, and our recommendations are that we continue as a partner with Liberty School, and that we will continue to pray for that school, for the students that are there, for the staff and the teachers that diligently work in making sure that these children know Jesus and the love of God, and that we continue also in our partnership with Liberty School by providing our financial support as we have done through our benevolence. It just so happened that this month, July, is a fifth Sunday month, and it's our mission, Global Mission Appeal Month, next Sunday, actually. But next Sunday, because of the gathering and so forth, we decided that today we'll kind of push the Global Mission Emphasis Sunday, and I encourage you to use the blue envelope in the pews in front of you and contribute generously to the various missions that we are in partnership with. You've seen and heard what is happening in Kenya at Liberty School, and we, for one, as a group, highly commend that we continue our partnership with Liberty School. They do work that impact the lives of students, of their families, that whole county, in ways that we can't even imagine, and they do it with the love of Christ. And with a mission like that, we ought to be thankful to be in partnership with them. And we can, as partners with Liberty School all the way across the globe, we can actually lift our heads high and say we make a difference in a different part of the world through Liberty School. One thing, in case you have missed it, one thing that I want to emphasize is that our financial support to Liberty School is put to good use. There is nothing that would indicate to us that they have squandered our resources. It's the opposite. They have made it stretched and expended it to the portion and the ways that they could. And we are fully satisfied with what we've seen and what we have been able to do in accompanying this mission in Katale. So we want to make sure that Liberty School continue to live out their mission, which is to train the minds, transform the hearts. and to empower skills. And their vision is to have each of their learners make a difference in their county, one of the most impoverished county in Kenya, but also to go beyond. And we've seen examples of those who've gone from Liberty School into all the way to college and universities and came back to give back to the community. And so it is a good thing. And we give thanks to God for the partnership that we've been able to do and to accompany them. And we look forward to doing even more. One of the goals that this weekend with the LCMC gathering is to entice other LCMC congregations to see the good news and the impacts that Liberty School is making in Kenya. And hopefully they will come alongside us or alongside Liberty School and help lift the burden, meet some of these challenges that they're having, and continue to expand the kingdom of God. And so with that, I want to say on behalf of our team and on behalf of Pastor John and the whole school in Kitale, I want to say, as in Swahili, Asante Sana. Thank you very much for your generosity. Thank you for the privilege of sending us to experience the trip that we had. And thank you for the privilege of being able to report to you all that our God is indeed an awesome God, and we're doing mighty works through the Holy Spirit, even to the ends of the earth in Kitale, Kenya. Thank you. That's it. Thank you, guys. Awesome.